Yes, let's pray.
And we'll have a look at the book of Ruth. Father God, we thank you for your word, and once again, just so privileged to have it in our own language translated for us, Lord. Lord, to be able to understand some of the amazing things that you have done in people's lives. Lord, as we realize that you are the same God who's never changed, your ways are constant, Lord, faithful, true, and just in every way. So what we see you doing for them, Lord, we can believe that you can do for us too. So Lord, we just pray you'll bless us and help us to understand and see you at work in the lives of ordinary people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now then, Book of Ruth. What do you know about the Book of Ruth?
It's very short.
It's a short one. It's a love story as well.
It's a happy ending.
It's got a happy ending, yes. Right.
You've talked about the kinsman.
To do with the kinsman that comes in. Mm. Now then, just a little bit of background for you on the Book of Ruth. The Jews organised their Old Testament Bible in a different order to some of our versions, in our English versions, in that the Book of Ruth isn't in the place where we find it. We have in their version, it's the book of the law, Moses, 5 books, then it's Joshua, Judges, and then Samuel. Ruth is not in there. Yeah, Ruth is in the collection at the end called the Writings. Yeah, and possibly the reason for that is that Ruth's probably written somewhat later. We don't know who put it together in its present form. Obviously it's an account of the events that happened then, but they weren't written up in the same way as the others were at that point in time. That seems to be the guess. So it's put on in later in the Writings. Yeah? So that's one of the things that's important about it. But why is the Book of Ruth so important? It's part of that. But for the Jews, which didn't see Jesus coming, why did they collect it? Because they were expecting the Messiah, but they didn't know it was Jesus was coming just yet. So they collected the Book of Ruth and put it in their Bible before Jesus was born, of course. So why did they collect the Book of Ruth? Why was that such an important book? Because
it talked about
it's the line of Jesus as we know it, but it's the ancestry of David, the king. Mm. Right. And of course, David is the great king that leads to the great Messiah, of course.
But when you say about the date...
Sorry?
When you say about the date, it says it was written when the judges were here.
The story is taken from the time of Judges, but the fact that it refers to the genealogy of David at the end would suggest it was written up in the form that we have it. I'm not saying it wasn't written up, but it's put together as a beautiful piece of poetry. It took some time to organise it the way it's written. Yeah. So the facts weren't changed, but the writing up of it was obviously done a little bit later, by the looks of it anyway. Just the fact that there's the genealogy of David at the end, David didn't live during the time of the Judges. So that's one of the suggestions why.
What type of poetry is it?
It's just the way it's written. It's a beauty. It's a balanced book. It's symmetry all the way through. The first bit matches the bit, and right in the middle is where everything changes. It's really fascinating way. If you wanted to chop the book up and look at an analysis of it, we're not going to do that. But it is really quite an amazing piece of writing. Yeah. So that's a little bit of background to it. Yeah. And it says, it starts with this, in the days when the judges ruled. So it's taken from the period of Judges. That's why we have it in our Bibles after the book of Judges, because it says it in its same context, yeah? Right, in the days when Judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. Well, in the book of Judges you won't read about a famine. So when was it?
Before Judges.
Before Judges, no it wasn't. It was during the time of the judges ruling, that's what it tells us. There wasn't a famine, but there was a famine. Yes? I'll take it to Judges. Sorry?
It wasn't everywhere, presumably, since they went to...
Oh, I have to get some food from there, yes. Right, so that might be a little clue. If you go to Judges chapter 6, this is the best that we can come up with. Right?
Sorry.
I think it's chapter... Judges, yes, Judges. Chapter 6, Joshua, Judges, and Judges. Go on. But no, chapter 6, verse 1, yes? Right, listen to this. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. And because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops, all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. That's what we call a famine. Yeah. It's not a natural famine, it's a man-imposed famine. Mm. But when there's no food, you call it a famine. So they've been cleaned out because of their sin. That was the case. Well, it's, I think that's the context that we're talking about. And it fits in with the time scale that we're talking about, if you look at all the genealogy stuff here. Right, so, that's what we're talking about. There was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Right, so, that's what we find. We find this ordinary, everyday family think, life's pretty rough here, why don't we move? Let's go and flit somewhere else to get out of the problems that we've got. So, they up sticks and they go to the country of Moab. Well, Moab was relatives. You know their relatives. They went to live with their relatives. They weren't very friendly relatives, but over the period of the history of the Israelites. But at this stage, things seem to be fairly peaceful at the moment anyway. So they go over there to live in Moab because the Moabites haven't been attacked by the Midianites, the Amalekites and all the other lot.
Israelites, are
they? They're not Israelites, they're cousins. They were the descendants of Lot,
right,
which was Abraham's nephew. Right. Right, so they're all related one way or another, I guess. But yes, yes, they go to visit the family over the hill. It's about, to get from where they went, it's about 50 miles or more. It's quite a journey. They have to travel down through to the Jordan, cross over onto the other side, onto the eastern side of the Jordan and go south, and then they get to Moab. So it's a fair journey, about 50 odd miles or something like that, I guess. Yeah. So that's where they're heading for. Right. The man's name was Elimelech and his wife's name was Naomi. Right. So that's who they are. Elimelech, my God is king, is what his name means there. Naomi means pleasant. Right. We'll look at names in a moment, yeah? Right, so it's interesting. It says, this is the couple, and the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. So, their two sons are called Mahlon and Chilion. Now, I have a problem with parents that give kids funny names. Yeah? Mahlon and Chilion mean something like weak and whingy. Fancy calling your kids that. I don't know whether that was their names in the sense that it was the meaning of their names at that time. They might have just called him Mahlon and Chilion as just a name they made up. But the name came to mean, I'm guessing, weak and whingy. Because that's how it looks like they were. But, you know, there are times in the Bible when names are given to kids because they're prophetic. Yeah? Or there's something about their birth. So, for example, Esau is called Esau because he was red coloured, yeah? And Jacob's called Jacob because he grabbed the heel, yes? So, the names mean things, but anyway, we have these two guys who are their sons, and they all go as a family, which is nice, go as a family off to Moab. Right. Now, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. That's a bit of a blow, isn't it? It doesn't say why he died. These things, tragedies happen, don't they? And she's lost her husband, right? They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other named Ruth. Now, it wasn't against the law to marry Moabite women, yeah? The one thing that they had to make sure was they didn't import the Moabite religion, that was all. Yeah, that's the issue, because good. So they married these Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth, and of course their names are Moabite names, so we don't know any meanings about them.
So yeah. Would there have been synagogues?
Synagogues? No, not really, no, not in those days.
Oh, what do you call it then?
The temple or the tabernacle was all that they had. And then
the Moabites worshipped other gods.
They had various gods going, yes, yeah.
But they could still.
They had their temples, temple places, but yeah.
They could still worship.
Yeah, they could still worship here, yes. I mean, it tends to be more of a home type thing, unless there were the annual feasts where people went to the tabernacle or the temple, you know.
It makes you wonder.
Descendants of those, yes.
And Lot was so blessed through Abraham.
Yeah.
That he went so wrong.
Well, he went by what he could see rather than what his heart was right, you see. Yeah. Anyway, not about Lot. We're talking about their descendants here, or the relatives here, Orpah and Ruth. After they'd lived there about 10 years, now by that time, Gideon has got rid of the Moabites. No, not the Moabites, the Midianites. Yeah. And so, after about 10 years, it says, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. Now, why they died, they're quite young, we don't know. Maybe an accident or something like that, maybe genetic, calling them weak and whingy, they might have had some condition, I don't know. But anyway, they died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. She is completely bereft. Yeah? That's tough. Yeah? In a foreign country, no family, it's tough. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. So she heard. How did she hear? She heard it on the grapevine. Whatever. News travels all the time, doesn't it? It's amazing, yes? They didn't need mobiles and things like that in those days. They still got the news still got through. The news came through that the Lord had turned things round in Israel. That would be, I would guess, if my calculations are right, Gideon has now established peace in the land. Right, so things are back to something like what it should be. Yeah? So she hears that things are all right, and she prepares to go back to her own country. Yeah, and her daughters-in-law prepare to return home from there. When her two daughters-in-law, with her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she'd been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. So they all decide they're going back. Why do you think they did that?
Yeah, I'd have thought the daughters and
the mothers, yes, that's possible, if they were alive, yes. Yeah. But if they decide to go, obviously they've got an affection for Naomi.
Yeah.
You know, that was a thing. But why did they decide to go off together as a group?
So they need to just stick together in
the
group.
Stick together in the group. It's safer.
Yeah.
Remember, they're going back on a 50-mile journey, and that 50-mile journey is going to take them up the road that leads down to Jericho. Oh. Remember when Jesus talked about it? Yeah, it was not a safe road. I suspect they wanted to make the journey and sort of go into some degree of sort of self-protection, at least some idea anyway. That's my guess. So anyway, they decide to set off back then. Quite a big undertaking in itself. Now she's on her own. Yeah. So, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back each of you. So, as they set off, she suddenly has second thoughts, it would seem. Go back each of you to your mother's home. So, we're assuming mother's still alive. That's my guess, yeah?
Two different mothers.
Yeah, two different mothers, yes. They're different girls, have different mothers, yeah. Go back each of you to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Yeah, that's really generous of her. She's saying is, I'll go on my own, you go back to your families, your people, and may the Lord bless you with a family, because the girls had married, but they had no children. Yeah. So she's feeling for them, but she also talks about the Lord. I guess she must have done that before. Yeah, so they've got to hear about the God of Israel. And so that's it, she blesses them, right?
Dennis, I know you've just touched on it, but I haven't said that before. It's this here, and then I don't know, a woman married them.
Yeah.
No son was allowed to enter the assembly of the Lord for 10
generations. For 10 generations, yes.
That's quite
a long time, yeah. Yeah, they were outsiders as such, but they weren't. They weren't excluded from the normal life of Israel. It was just entering into the temple time.
Quite something, though, isn't it?
It was, yes.
Within a family.
Yeah. So, she tells them that. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, and said to her, we'll go back with you to your people. So they have quite an affection for her, you see. She gives them a goodbye hug and kiss, and then everybody's weeping. That's what happens when the friends are parting, isn't it, really? So they said, no, we'll go back with you to your people. So that's what they say, Yeah, but their Naomi tries to put them off. She says, but Naomi said, no, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could be your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. And even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It's more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. So, what she's saying? She's saying is that in the Jewish law, it was quite legal for the son or a brother to marry the wife of the dead brother in order to raise a family. That's what she's talking about. Yeah. So she's saying is, if I got another son, would you wait long enough for him to grow up in order to marry him? Yeah, or two sons, it would be for the both of them, yeah. But, you know, would you wait that long? She says, no, I'm too old to get a husband anyway. And even if I had one, you know, would you wait that long? So she's really making the case as difficult as she possibly can to explain, for them, they have no prospects when they go back with her of getting anywhere in life.
It's interesting as well that she thinks it's a bad thing,
we'll develop that for a moment, yeah? So, we've explained why she's telling them not to come. Because, girls, there's nothing for you where I'm going. That's really what she's saying, yeah?
I think it's good, though, because she's sort of thinking...
She cares about them.
...inwardly, but she's looking outward.
Yeah, she cares about these girls.
It's hard to do when you're like that,
yeah. Now, think about it. In Naomi's situation, you've lost your husband, you've lost your kids... Mm. You're going back home and you don't know what's there, you know. She's lost everything in that sense. And so, who does she blame for it? God! And, well, I'm not here to criticise Naomi, you know, when you've been in the wars and everything seems... And some people seem to get everything go wrong on them, doesn't it? It seems like that. Yeah. We know God's working. We know, because we've read the story, we know God's working. But you put yourself into her situation at that point in time... Everything's gone.
Help, help, help.
Yeah. And she still believes in God, but she's blaming him for it, of course, yeah? Well, I've got news for you. God's shoulders are big enough to take it, yeah? And people have been known to, and she's one of them, cry out to God, say, why? What's going on, Lord? Yeah? What have you done this to me for?
We
all tend to think like that, yeah?
He understands.
Of course he understands. And he's willing to hear our whinging and whining, you know, in that sense. But it's not whinging and whining. She is a broken woman. Yeah. You know, we can be hard on her and say she's blaming God, but, you know, you put yourself in her shoes for 3 weeks and you might be thinking the same as she does. Yeah. So, there she is. It's more bitter for me than for you. Well, she recognises it's tough for them because they've lost their husbands. Yeah. The Lord's hand has gone out against me. All right. So, poor old Naomi has a problem, not with God, but with God's goodness. That's the issue, isn't it? Yeah. Can God be good when things like this happen? Well, we know he can, but it's often as you look back, not at the point in time. Yeah. Right. Okay. So, at this, they wept again. Well, they did, yes. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. So, one goes back. Why did Orpah go back?
Because she was...
You couldn't see anything in back with mother-in-law, and was hoping for something... Nearer to home, yeah.
You don't know any more of the family situation with the mother or anything,
We don't, no.
Perhaps God, you know what God's allowing, is one to go back in that circumstance.
Yeah. But spiritually, behind the scenes, I mean, we could say this, spiritually behind the scenes, one was committed to God and the other wasn't. Yeah. That's what the heart of it is, though I'm not here to knock Orpah either, you know. Yeah. But it seems like that she is more thinking about was for her, rather than him. So we don't know. We'll have to wait till we get to the glory to see what happened on that one.
Yeah, could she just have been kind of...
Yes, yeah, accept what she says. Yeah.
Accept what she says.
There's no animosity, no bitterness here. I'm just saying at root of it, you know, one's committed to God. That's what's happened is, for Ruth, she isn't so much, well, she's committed to Naomi, but she's found true faith in the living God. That's what's happened to her.
Right.
Yeah. So as a result of that,
then it's as they both wanted to go forward, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, what you say is, I mean, if God's in charge, sometimes, you know, sometimes it's hard when they've left somebody and wanted to go on together. Sometimes it's hard to have the trust to go that way as well as that way.
As I say, I'm not here to criticise all, but as I say, why she made the decision she made, there may be lots of factors involved. There may have been a young man on the scene, I don't know. You know, prospects were possible, I don't know. I'm just guessing. But she left, that's the point we're getting at. But Ruth, it says, clung to her. Eh? How about that? To cling to her. Yeah, I don't think that just means mentally, I mean physically. I think she hugged her and stayed with her. And as Orpah walks down the road on the way back, Naomi says, "Look," Naomi said, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." Oh. Yes. Well, whether she's talking about going back to, I don't think she'd be talking about going back into worshipping their gods in that sense. Mm. But their culture, I think, is putting a nice slant on it. She says, "Go back. It's their family, their ways. You know, she's going back. Yeah. Why don't you go with her?" Right.
All our relationships are within them, I think.
Well, it's self-interest. I wouldn't say selfish. They're not always selfish. They may do, Chris. But self-interest is part of the way we are as humans.
They're not perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think sometimes as well.
This is more a reflection of God's love relationship He wants with us, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So close.
Yes.
That you put the other first entirely.
Yes.
Come to something and not really realised why. And then, as you say, you look back.
Yeah.
And you can see why.
You can see why, yeah. Well, God's at work there, yeah. Well, the Lord is at work. We know the Lord's at work in this, isn't he, of course? Yes. We know. But Naomi doesn't. Yeah. Right. So, Ruth replies when she sees her sister-in-law walking away and Naomi saying, "Go with her." Ruth makes a decision. It's a very important and powerful decision that she makes. And you know, this affects the history of the world. Isn't that remarkable? Your decisions might be that big. Not always are, I don't suppose, but this was one of the big ones. And I don't suppose she thought much of it either, in the sense that, but it was deep in her soul. She doesn't want to go. And Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you." Now then, isn't that interesting? There's one me and several yous, because she's thinking about her rather than thinking about Naomi rather than about herself, in a sense. She says, "I want to stay with you." Why does she want to stay with you? Well, she says, "Yeah, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Yeah, where you die, I'll die, and there I'll be buried." Yeah?
It's like a loyalty now, isn't it? If you make family, you become that family.
Yes.
It would be quite a natural thing to do, to want to be with her and look after her, regardless of what you...
Well, yeah, it is a natural thing, but there's far more. This I will, it's a really firm commitment of the soul to this, isn't it?
Well,
you
it's know? The thing that...
I will this, mind. I will that, I will the other, you know. She's really... This is a choice that's at the core of her being, right? And the lovely thing about it is that she's not just committed to the woman, Naomi. She's committed to the woman's God, the Lord. Mm. Yeah? And the lovely phrase, she says, "Your people shall be my people, and your God my God." Wow. Do you know, that's so beautiful. But it echoes the covenant that God made right through the Bible. Yeah? "They shall be my people, and I will be their God." Now he's speaking of Israel there, yeah. But she says, "I'm getting in on it." Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
"Your people, I'm joining them. Your God, I'm going for him." Yeah. So what it's an incredibly beautiful thing that she says here, and
it's interesting because you usually lose your sons to to their in-laws,
yeah,
right. Not the other way round.
Okay, well, she's gained a daughter here, yeah. Obviously, yes. Yeah. So, where you die, I'll die. She says, you're not going to get rid of me. I'm sticking, yes. And what a commitment. And, you know, she kept it. Yeah. It's not just words with Ruth. She meant it, and she was going to, by the grace of God, do it. And
it
almost
sounds like a marriage.
It does, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that Ruth, when she married her husband, you can almost feel, you know, I'm marrying you and your people and your Lord and your God.
Yes.
I'm going
for I'm switching sides here. Yeah. 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 So,
You've taken it to a conversion.
And not only, it is a type of conversion commitment.
Say to God, I'm
It's an outward commitment of. This is what we say baptism is, isn't it? It's an outward expression of an inward reality. She has committed to God, and now she's saying is, I will. And she binds herself with a curse. Right? She says this. Where is it? And may the Lord deal with me be ever so severely if anything but death separates you and me. Right? She's saying is, if I break this one, may God take me to task for it. Yeah, she's serious. I'm so glad. Yeah, right. So when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Right, she beat her. Finally, Naomi got the message: Ruth is not going to be leaving. She sticks. Yeah, so Naomi gives up, and finally, how do you think she felt? Quite pleased, I think. Yes, she decided she'd go on her own if she had to, but it's lovely to have someone go with you, isn't it, really? And so she's got a person that loves her. That's quite something, isn't it? When you're so broken, to know somebody loves you must be quite good.
A bit healed.
Yeah. Was she kind of testing them, perhaps?
Sorry, was Naomi testing them? I don't think she was, to be honest. I mean, it's hard to say because we don't know, but. I think.
In her grief, was she saying, are you really with me or are you not?
Yeah, well, it's mixed motives often, isn't it, you know? Yeah, she really wants them to go back, but, you know, she'd like them to stay. Maybe that's the thought, possibly, I don't know. Yeah? Okay, but they finally decided they're going together. Now, so they make the journey and they survive the journey. Now, that's a wonderful thing. You know, it's a long way, right? On your own, time to think about. And what's the future for Naomi? Nothing. And she's told Ruth, what's the future for you? Looking after a grisly old soul like her. Yeah? Going to be a carer for a grotty old mother. Yeah, how about that? Very well.
I don't think she was there, do you?
She wasn't, no.
I think that's the point. I think probably her commitment to her daughter's in-law.
Yeah.
The fact that I just feel that Naomi was such a nice person. I felt guilty that her sons had died and not fulfilled life to their husbands,
to their wives. Yeah.
And then obviously her husband had gone, what is there left for you? Go on, you go and enjoy your life now.
Yes, that's right.
And I'll go and
Go and eat worms.
I think it was really like self-sacrificial that you just go and enjoy your life.
Dear old Naomi.
Well, don't you think they've got a bit more, even deep down with all this shock and horror and everything, before, they had something happen, and then this, surely, you know, Ruth just is death.
Yeah.
So, but surely they had some concept, they weren't alone.
No.
You know, and if all this had happened, so they were got a bit of concept, and they were trusting with the old
ones. And what you've said makes me think this. Naomi had shared her faith with the girls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ruth's responded, and when Naomi's down, Ruth's lifting her up.
Right.
Is that amazing, you know? Mm-hmm. What goes round comes round, yeah? Mm-hmm. You bless somebody else, it has a way of coming back.
I did that with some neighbours, like going over to Ringsend. They were talking about being positive, don't be negative. I was saying this to these neighbours, and you could see them sort of looking up at the ceiling and thinking, oh, where's she going? And 6 months later, I was going through a rough time with my husband. One of these neighbours sat in and said, "Oi, what about what you say?"
All right. Well, yes.
It came back.
Ruth brings it back to Naomi, you know. God's in it somewhere. Yeah, your God's going to be my God. I'm going to stick with you. You're privileged to have this God as your God. So, you know. Right. Okay. So, she arrives back. She gets back. So, when the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. So, there they are, one afternoon, trudging down the road together as they come into Bethlehem. Right. It's not a big town, you know. It's not a town even. It's a village. A little hamlet, really, in those days. And in that type of community, everybody knows everybody else's business, yes? So, when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. Everybody's talking. Yes, have you seen? Who's come here, right? And then it says, and the women exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Is this Naomi back, you know? You remember Naomi, don't you? Remember, 10 years or more have gone. Right, so... you remember Naomi, yes? And they're all talking about it. And Naomi obviously hears the ladies, some of the ladies talking, and she says, don't call me Naomi, she said, call me Mara. Right? Mm. And this is where names have meanings. Yeah. Bitter. Mara means bitter. Yes. It was the pool of water was called Mara. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, they came to the place called Mara, because the waters were bitter, right? And Moses cut down some a wooden piece of wood and put it into the water, and it made it sweet. Beautiful picture of the cross, turning bitterness to sweetness. Yeah. But anyway, that's another story. She says, "Don't call me Naomi means pleasant." Yeah, right. And I'm sure her name was well chosen because that's what she was. Yeah, but in this situation. She says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, bitter, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. Right? I'm blaming God for this. Right? When it could well have, do you know why bad things happen in the world? Because we're in a fallen world. Sins around, sicknesses around, diseases around, and it's not God's fault. Right? Well, not only, it is Satan. Satan's at work in messing it all up in the first place. But it's part of our fallen world. And death is part of it. Sorry to tell you this, but it is.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, don't we often, you know, this, I'm just thinking about this morning. Isn't it good? Because we might try and hide ourselves. But by declaring this, especially in front of others,
yeah,
what she is. It's really the first part of healing, isn't it?
Yeah, she's admitting, you know, where she's at.
What you need.
Yeah. We're not pretending.
So sometimes,
yeah.
Sometimes we can tell God, but we don't want to tell people, do we?
Yeah.
But we need praying for.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Well, she's really letting them know. She spilled the beans. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Almighty has made my life very bitter. And now, there's the issue. Job had the same problem. Mm-hmm. God is Almighty. Yeah, that means God can do anything, anywhere, anytime.
Amen.
So why have I got where I am? Yeah. That's Job's question. Why is it that a God who is almighty let me get to where I am? Right? And we know the story behind the scenes. The devil's messing things up again, of course.
And his friends didn't help.
Right? His friends didn't help at all. But this is dear Naomi's situation. The Almighty God, I believe He's Almighty, I believe He's Sovereign, so why am I where I am? And the problem is, she doesn't know the whole story. And Job didn't know the whole story. And when you're in it, you won't know the whole story either. Yeah? But, that's what she's feeling. The Lord Almighty has made my life very bitter. Now listen, this is a cracking piece, this. I went away full. But the Lord has brought me back empty. He keeps getting the blast for it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Right. Well, that, in a sense, is true. She had a whole family with her. Life was looking possibly reasonable, and she's come back with nothing. But
sometimes He does that to us to make us trust Him.
Right. Yeah. Now then, like I said, the writing of the book of Ruth, it's amazing, and it's in the way it's written, it's like almost poetry, is that he does the contrast between full and empty.
Mm.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Did she come back empty?
No.
She has come back with the greatest treasure at that time on planet Earth. one of the ancestors of Jesus. Yeah. I mean, you can't get better. Right? She doesn't know that.
No.
Right? But that's how she sees it. That's our problem. We measure life by how we see, not how God does it.
What we know instead of what we've got to know.
Yes, right. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. Well, if I'd have been God and heard it all say that, I'd have sent a bolt of lightning. Yeah. Enough of this talk, yes, but he doesn't. No, because he loves her. He's got plans for Naomi, but she's feeling very, very low. You're allowed, yes.
And if I was brave, I'd think, thank you.
Yes. She wasn't looking at Ruth at that time. She's talking about what her past is and what she went off with and so on. Yeah. So, but that's what she feels, right? It's good to, in a way, to express your feelings to the Lord, yeah? There is a psalm, I think it's Psalm 72, where he talks about God's good to Israel, but that's for me. My feet had almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked and saw all that. Yeah? And he said, if I'd said this, I would have betrayed your people. Right? There's sometimes when you keep stum and just tell God.
Yeah.
Right? Because he knew it would pull other people down. Yeah? But Naomi, she's letting it all hang out, as they said in the 60s. Yeah? Right? She's told them all. Right? Okay, so. Now, the interesting thing is, the story, as you know, the story goes on. Naomi's going to have to eat her words. But never mind, yeah? I'm sure she's pleased to eat them. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law. Yeah? Now that is the contrast to be between the full and empty bit. I went away full and came back empty. Well, she returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess. She's brought back a treasure. And so, behind the scenes, behind all this going on, and with the tragedy of human lives and people hurt and people sad, yeah, behind all of that, we can now see what's going on. Why did the famine happen? God can use all sorts of things. Why did the famine happen? Because the Israelites were unfaithful to God, yes, but God allowed it in order for that family to go down to Moab to get that woman, because God wants her genes in the ancestry.
But
that brought
the blessing of Lot back into play as well.
The good news. I mean, in the genealogy of Jesus, the good news about this is Ruth, a Gentile outsider, is welcomed into the family of God. Right, that's good news for me, Gentile outsider. God says, "You're in. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God." Brilliant. So, last little bit. And we'll hold fire on this one. They arriving back in Bethlehem just as the barley harvest was beginning. Well, you know when the barley harvest is? It's the first of the harvests. It's fairly early on in the year, right? But what's it saying? In this story, God uses natural events and things like that to set the scene. You will always see it in the movies, in those films, you know. When something nasty's going to be happening, the music goes, all that sort of stuff, doesn't it? Yeah? It sets the scene, yeah? Well, in nature, God's doing this. When they arrive back, the barley harvest just beginning, things are turning.
Amen.
It's coming round. Something new's beginning, right? And so, in these chapters that we look in Ruth, you get the story, and every chapter ends with a link to the next bit of the story. Right? So the barley harvest is beginning, and you know what you need to do at the time of the barley harvest?
Yeah.
Go gleaning.
Go gleaning. Da da da. Well, there you, but you've read the story. You're not allowed to read on till next time now. Okay.
And the name is significant.
The name?
Bethlehem.
At Bethlehem. It's called the House of Bread or Food. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Mm. The house of food.
I didn't understand that until I didn't really twig about that when the Lord meditating on it.
Well, things are looking up. Right, so when you're at your lowest, don't forget, you know, God still loves you. And even if he's allowed some pretty horrible things to happen, he knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Praise
yeah.
The Lord.
Let's pray.
Amen.
Dear Father, we're grateful for your word. It shows life as it really is for people, with all its ups and downs and sadnesses, are very difficult things that people have to face. Lord, give us sympathetic hearts for those who grieve. Lord, your word tells us to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. Lord, we pray you will help us, Lord, to help others when they face great trials. And when we're in the middle of difficulties, Lord, to cry out to you, Lord, and that you will provide others who will come along like Ruth as encouragers, Lord, to say, yes, I want to be with you. I love you, Lord. I want to serve God and bless you. Father, thank you for this beautiful story of just ordinary people in so many ways, and yet, Lord, in a relationship with the most extraordinary being that there is, you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You make things special just by being there. We thank you, Lord, for Ruth, for all that she meant ultimately in your plans. Lord, that we too, we may not see it, we don't see things now, Lord, as the future won't be for us, Lord, but we look to you, Lord, knowing that we're part of that great big plan that you have.
Mm-hmm.
What a privilege, Lord, that we can be part of it, because you called out the Gentiles, you called out those who are far off, Lord, to come in through Jesus. Bless you for your grace and your mercy, in Jesus' name.